Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, Come and See, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on John 1, 35 through 42. It was recorded on October 24th, 2021, and is part of our series, The Invitation.
All right, good morning. So glad that you are here, and I know you're glad that you're here also. I just love Baptism Sunday. Jesus still, he transforms people's heart. He transforms their life, and I hope that's given you much hope this morning. And one of the couple things you can do, help us out, celebrate with these people. There's cupcakes in the back for you and pretty much all of the friends that you have. We've got a lot of cupcakes back there, so help us out. And then also, if you see any of them in a blue shirt, give them a hug, say hi, encourage them that they're part of the family of God, and that's just so encouraging. We want to say in a spirit of worship, grab a Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. So John chapter 1, and we want to just always magnify Christ. Just last week, I was talking with somebody, and I said, what's your hope in God's sight? And she said, I don't know. And I said, our hope is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Our hope is that God is going to fulfill that promise to us based on Jesus and his sufficient life. And so that's the message of this place. And we want that message to go out of this place in the life that we live. And that's the theme of the series, The Invitation, that God's great gift of Jesus, how we can trust him, how we can follow him. And so we're excited for this next 5 weeks, and we'll be in the Gospel of John. But let me pray, and then let me get started. And we believe in miracles, and third service, we've got 6 people being baptized, so you're going to see a 7-minute sermon in third service, all right, to keep everybody on time. Okay, but let me pray. So dear Jesus, we thank you that you've come and you've taught us how to live. And Spirit, would you teach during this time? We believe in your scriptures. We believe that when your word is preached, your voice is heard, and we can trust you. This is not just information. This is an invitation to life that is truly life. And the church said together, amen. Well, this series is called The Invitation, as we've said. And you receive invitations, and I receive invitations. And how you respond to them, saying yes or no, it directs the course of your life. You receive invitations every day, maybe to like Facebook friends or something like that. I remember I sent an invitation to Heather when we didn't even know each other. A friend gave me her email address, and I emailed her, and I sent her this invitation to open an email from me, and she did. And that was our first communication. And that invitation that she said yes to, that she opened, changed her life and my life. Invitations matter. And how you respond to them matters. Jesus knows this, and for that reason, he gave 13 invitations in the Gospels. We'll just be looking at 5, but he gave 13 invitations in the Gospels, knowing that when you say yes to them, it'll change your life. See, this is one of the major themes of this series. Spiritual growth can happen in a lot of ways, but Jesus guarantees that if you accept these 5 invitations from him, spiritual growth will happen. And the most important thing about you and me is our spiritual lives. Everything flows out of our spiritual lives. Our relationship with Jesus flows into our relationship with everybody and everything else. Who you are in your relationship with God is the core of who you are. And so we'll be looking at the 5 invitations of Jesus, and these 5 are the following. Come and see, follow me, deny yourself, and if you're a parent, if you're a spouse, if you're a child, if you're in the workforce, that's significant. Fish with me and receive the Spirit. And over time, Jesus calls for greater and greater commitment. But when we say yes, we have greater knowledge of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in our life. So just quickly today, the invitation from Jesus is this, come and see, come and see. And the question before all of us is this, accept or ignore, accept or ignore. And maybe this is your 1,000th sermon on Jesus that you've heard, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about Jesus. Wherever you are at, Jesus says, I want you to come and see more of who I am and how I can be the Savior that you need. My prayer for you this morning has been Paul's prayer in the book of Ephesians. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you were called, the riches of his glorious inheritance as his holy people. We see all that Jesus is for us with the hearts, the spiritual eyes that God has given us. And that's our prayer. Now, this first text comes from John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 35. And Jesus is slowly beginning to reveal himself, and how he's beginning to reveal himself and who he is as a savior of the world comes from his cousin, John, who's the forerunner. He says, I've come and I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it says that Jesus walked by and he says, look, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Well, this happens a second time, and Jesus responds to John saying this, and he begins to call his very first disciples. Look at what it says in verse 35 of John chapter 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They stopped following John and started following Jesus. And the great thing about John is that I must decrease, he must increase. Verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will what? See. And I don't think it's just see where I'm staying. Is that it's an invitation to life. You will see so much of who I am. And so they went and saw where he was staying. And they spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who'd heard that John had said, who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. I love that. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are now Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, which we know means rock. Now, there are five things that Jesus wants us to see regarding what it means to follow him and who he is as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, the first one is this. John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And they follow him. They probably didn't see that coming. The first principle is this, is you must be willing to trust and adjust. When it comes to Jesus, he leads, we follow. And Jesus breaks on the scene of their life in an unexpected manner. And sometimes Jesus will break on the scene of our lives in an unexpected way. These guys just weren't sitting around with nothing to do. They had probably an agenda of that day. Something greater came in, a greater priority. And what's that priority? Jesus. Often we want Jesus to adjust to us. Here's my plans. Here's my hopes. But Jesus says, no. Follow me. I'll lead you. I guide. We got to be willing to trust and adjust. And how do you do that? The mark of trusting and adjusting is humility. Humility. And Jesus was the mark of humility. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And Matt, who you heard in the video, he said, I'm tired of doing it my way. That's not a one-time statement about your life. That's an ongoing statement about your life. Jesus, I want it your way. Now, when you're willing to trust and adjust, listen to Jesus and obey Jesus, what he says, live in humility, you see another promise of Jesus, another invitation of Jesus being fulfilled in your life. Let me explain. When Jesus lived in the era that Jesus lived, there was oxen that would be yoked together. And they would yoke oxen up in this following way. They would take a wise ox and team it up with a young ox that needed to learn. They would take a weak ox and team it up with a strong ox. Well, Jesus comes, and when we're willing to trust and adjust, you will see another invitation from Jesus being fulfilled in your life. He said this in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, as it comes up there. It says, come to me, you're weary, you're burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Jesus, when we trust and adjust, wants to yoke himself with us in the days that we live. And sometimes in my life, it's not working out because Jesus won't let it work out. Because then I have to start praying, not my will, but your will be done. And I have to trust and adjust, listen, and obey to the voice of Jesus. Where might be a place where you've got to trust and adjust so you can be yoked up with Jesus? A relationship, a situation, and Jesus makes this invitation to you. But notice in this text, there's no voice from heaven. There's no preaching or sermon on the mount. There's no teaching in the synagogue, no miracle, no call for discipleship, just an invitation, come and see, and they do it. And what do we learn about Jesus here? Here's what we learn. The presence of Jesus is better than answers from him. Now, we love the answers from him, and he will give us these answers, and we love the provision that he provides, and he will provide. But there's a principle when it comes to the relationship with Jesus, that the greatest gift of Jesus is what? Jesus. Simply Jesus. He's the greatest gift from the Father, and his presence is enough to sustain you in whatever situation. We learn this is the theme of the book of Philippians. Paul is in a prison cell. A prison cell, when he wants to be preaching the gospel, he's there because of the gospel. And in that situation, he says, the joy of the Lord that I have is my strength. Another time, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can he say that in that situation? Because his desire in that prison cell, he writes to that Philippian church, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and experience his presence, because the experience of Christ's presence through the power of the Holy Spirit is the joy of the Lord and the strength of the Lord. Are you pursuing Christ or all that we can have from Christ? Is Christ your aim, knowing him, the infallible riches of Christ? I'm amazed that I said the word infallible. I messed it up the second time. I should have just gone with the first time. But how does this change things? How do you pray for the persecuted church? The persecuted Christians in North Korea and Afghanistan. The 13 missionaries that were taken hostage in Haiti this past week. How do you pray for those people who in their lives, the darkness will not lift? The greatest gift that you can give and the powerful gift that you can give is, Father, grant them greater presence of Jesus. Until you lift the darkness, until you change the situation, may Jesus be their joy, may Jesus be their strength. Pray that for your children as they go to school. Pray that for your spouse as they go to the workforce or they're staying home. Whomever you love, make it that prayer. Grant them a greater measure of your presence through the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that right here is interesting statement. They could have said anything about Jesus, the miracle worker, the Messiah, but they choose this phrase, behold the Lamb of God, and everybody would have known what that meant. Earlier on in verse 29, John says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, behold the Lamb of God, who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Third thing you need to see about Jesus, know about Jesus, experience from Jesus, he's the sin remover. He takes it away. And the Lamb of God, the Messiah, they would have known this is the one they've been waiting for, because this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, our forebears, they sin in God's sight. They disobey. They run from God. And what do? They hide. And then they take fig leaves and they try to cover themselves up. They try to do it. And God said, this will not work. And so we know what God does. God takes initiative. There's a ram that's caught in the thicket. And that ram dies. An innocent one dies. And he takes the skin of the ram and he covers them. God covers them. And we see the gospel unfold right from the beginning, is that an innocent one will die for our sins and that he will cover us. See, the gospel is this, is Christ died as the Lamb of God, and his righteousness by faith covers us in God's sight. His righteousness is now our righteousness. And all throughout the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice bulls and goats and rams and lambs, and it was a reminder to the people, but they know it wasn't sufficient enough. They needed the Lamb of God. And that's the whole theme of Hebrews. It says this in Hebrews 10, day after day, every priest stands and performs religious duties. They didn't stop. It says again and again, they would offer the same sacrifices that could never take away sins, just a reminder of sins. But when this priest is Jesus, he offered for all time, one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the God. But why? Because he said, it is finished, paid in full. And the curtain of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, meaning the barrier will be taken away because of my son. And so priests, put your knives away. There's no more sacrifices needed. He is sufficient. Now, this is a big deal because here's why. See, because when your sin is removed, by faith you trust Jesus, that he's your basis for forgiveness, there's a whole new freedom that comes to your life. You're forgiven. You know you're loved because of that freedom. And because you know you're loved, you have a whole new motivation. You can forgive because you've been forgiven. You can love because you've been loved. You can let others go, you know, experience grace because you yourself have experienced grace. When you know this, it reaches out. That's what Andrew does. Come and see the Messiah. It changes our lives. And grace is not so much to be a cul-de-sac, but a conduit of this grace that we know. Here's a fourth one. There's so much more to see. If you say yes to trust and adjust, and you allow, and you yoke your life up with Jesus, everything changes. Because we know the whole story. They say yes, and then Jesus invites them to a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. They had no clue that all that they were getting into. They saw people who were blind were now able to see because Jesus came on the scene. That which was dead, Jesus made alive simply by his voice. 5,000 hungry men got fed because Jesus said, you know, hey, little boy, thanks for your lunch. They had no idea all that they were going to see. But man, there was so much more to see. When we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to a life of being overwhelmed by the love of God expressed to us in the person of Christ. You never stop pursuing more and more of the knowledge of Jesus. When Heather and I got married 22 and a half years ago. Seems like yesterday. You know, I mean, I knew we'd known each other 8 months? 10 months. Details like dates, you know, things like that. It's October. Keep going. All right. And, okay, I thought I knew Heather, and I did. And, but now as we've lived life in different circumstances, that circumstances have come our way, you know, moving, we moved to a place sight unseen almost. You know, and when we got married, and then we had started off, and we had kids, and then in the workforce, and then teenagers and middle schoolers. Each situation has brought a beauty, a wisdom, and you're just like, wow. There are situations, your life will not stay static if you follow Jesus. He will not answer the prayer of just make me normal. He doesn't do that. He'll bring you into situations where you get to be blown away by the grandeur and the greatness of who he is. And so you change your prayer life to say, Father, I want to see where you're working and how you're calling my heart to trust and adjust you, adjust, because I know when it comes to you, there's so much more to see. And when you do, you just your heart rings of love for him. Here's the last one. Jesus changes your identity. You're now be called Peter, which means rock, and we know how the story goes. And later on, Peter confesses that you are the Christ. And Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And we see how Peter goes from being a fisherman, and that's great. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, now you're going to catch men, meaning that what you do and how you do it, it's going to matter in people's lives for eternity. And when you follow Jesus, you know that a day is not simply a day. A day is a day that the kingdom of God could break in, and you could be a major, you could play a part in it. That every conversation, every simple act is a time where eternity could be impacted. When I saw these people being baptized, I was just thinking to myself, this was not just a few people. This was the prayers of many being answered throughout the years. These are the conversations of many being answered throughout the years. And you realize that who you are, the gifts that God's given you, can make a dent in eternity. And every day matters. So here's the invitation from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Think about the last 2 years we've lived. Anybody weary? Anybody burdened? Yeah. And I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For why can we trust him? Why can we trust and adjust? For he is gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Listen to me. Obey me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. The burden of the world is heavy. The burden of self-management is heavy. But being yoked with Jesus is light. So come and see. Accept or reject. How do you need to adjust to Jesus? How is Jesus calling to you? And how are you responding? For some, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We never want to assume that everybody here knows him. You don't know that if you're a child of God. Maybe you're saying, well, I hope so, I think so, possibly so. We want you to know so based on the faith that you've put in Jesus. Or maybe you're here today, you're saying, you know what? I'm not yoked with Jesus. I'm not yoked with Jesus in my finances. I'm not yoked with Jesus in my marriage. I'm not yoked with Jesus in my kind of my area of my life that no one knows about. But I want to be. And Jesus says, you can come to me. I'm not going to reject you because I'm gentle and humble in heart. And so let's stand. Let's stand. And Sarah, the worship team's going to come. And Sarah Beth's going to kind of give us some kind of some how we're going to respond and how we can respond. And you can come to the altar during this song when we sing here in a little bit. Or you can just be right where you're at. If you come to the altar, someone on this prayer team will say, hey, just ask you a simple question. But just call out to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to be yoked with you. Or maybe you say, I want to know all that you have for me and who you are as the Savior of the world. And the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.